us here for a purpose, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts as only you can by your Holy Spirit through your word. Thank you for your word, Father. It is amazing. And we just give you all praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning you can turn, if you will, to the book of Exodus. We're taking just a bit of a diversion. Exodus, the second book in the Bible, chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And we are going to look at the first 10 verses of this chapter. So why don't you stand with me, and I'm going to read through those verses once you get them before you. I need you to listen in King James, and you can read in whatever version you have. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And as his sister stood afar off, to wit, that would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go," and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, for she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Father, we thank you for your word. It is so powerful, Lord, and it is life-changing. And I pray, Father, today that you would go before us through these verses and that you would just open our hearts that we might see wonderful truths in your word. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen. We want you to go ahead and be seated. For the mothers that are here today, I'd like to share with you the thoughts of a mother. And it's titled, "I Wish I Were a Bear." I wish I were a bear. If you're a bear, you get to hibernate. You do nothing but sleep for 6 months. I could get used to that. And another thing, before you hibernate, you're supposed to eat yourself stupid. That wouldn't bother me either. If you're a mama bear, everyone knows you mean business. You swat anyone who bothers you or your cubs. If your cubs get out of line, you swat them too. Your husband expects you to growl when you wake up. He expects you to have hairy legs and excess body fat. He likes it. I wish I were a bear. Okay, so we could go farther with that, but we won't. But what a special day it is as we honor our mothers. We all have memories of our moms, or most of us, of the things that they've done for us over the years and how they provided for us in the good times and the bad times. And so thankful for our mothers and the things that we learned from them. And here today, in this section of Scripture, we really see a mother's heart. This one whose name is Jochebed, the mother of Moses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, we read, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And that love is demonstrated in the life of Jochebed. Her name means Jehovah is glory. And she is such a woman who gave of herself for her family, for her children, for Moses in particular. Because you remember, if you're a student of the Old Testament, that they were in difficult times there in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh had issued an edict that all the male children were to be put to death upon birth. And so Jochebed had two children already, Miriam, who was the eldest of the three, and then Aaron, who was 3 years older than Moses. And so Pharaoh's plan was for destruction, but God's plan was for preservation. And here in verse 1 of this chapter, we read, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly or special child, she hid him 3 months." So as we read those verses, we realize that Jochebed and her husband took an amazing step of faith, because they knew that to become pregnant, they stood under the shadow of an edict that that child might die in just a few months. And that's an amazing thing to stop and think about. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 11 declares, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." I love that. They were not afraid of the king's commandment, but rather they trusted the Lord. And as we walk with Jochebed through those months, in those months of preparation, as she was growing, her body was changing, she was praying over this young life that was in development in her stomach, and she was preparing, you know, for the party. Was it going to be pink cupcakes or blue cupcakes? So, you know, which is it going to be? And as she gets to that place where she no longer can see her feet, I'm sure some of you might, some of us are there now, even now, and we can't have children. But for her, it was all part of that journey, that preservation. And the day comes and Moses is born, and we're told that he was a beautiful child, a special child, indeed a child anointed by God for a special purpose. And just stop and think about this, that it was to be 80 years from that time that he was going to step into the role of deliverer of a nation. But that's how God works. We can't see the whole plan. We don't know. We don't understand. But it tells us that as she realizes that Moses is this special child and she knows that there's great danger for him, it says that she hid him for 3 months. She provided a covering. And I so appreciate moms. I appreciate you moms for providing a covering for your children. Never underestimate the value of motherhood. The world would diminish it, but God values it highly. And we value it highly as well. And I believe that we need to be faithful in praying for our mothers in these days, that they not become weary, that they not become discouraged, that they not become disheartened as the world tries to diminish their role, because it is the godly mother which makes such a difference in the lives of children. Pour yourself into your children. Pour your experience into them. Pour into them the truth of God's word. Minister to them as only you can. And verse 3 we read, "And when she could no longer hide him, she took of him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." Now, as you read that verse, it's almost inconceivable from a human perspective that a mother would be able to do that. To take this baby that she loves dearly and has been nurturing for these first 3 months to prepare this ark. Oh, by the way, the only other place that is mentioned, the ark is mentioned, is the story of Noah and the deliverance that Noah and his family experienced. So she prepares this ark. She puts her baby in the ark. She covers it and she sets it there in the river flow, in the flags there, the river, the reeds along the bank. Because you see, Jochebed was moved by faith over fear. I just saw an amazing t-shirt the other day. I'd never seen it before. I saw it, this person was walking at me and I saw the word faith and then the word fear. And I looked at them and I thought, well, that's odd. And then I began to think about it. Really what it says is, right, faith over fear. I love that. Faith over fear. What a great shirt. Faith over fear. And so that's where she was, you see. The Lord took care of Moses. And he began to float down the river. And it's interesting to think that the very river in which she placed him was the river in which the Egyptians were killing the Israeli or the Jewish boys. But what was death on the world's side was life on God's side of things. Never underestimate what God will do through you. I'm sure there were questions in her mind. But the circumstances of life became God's details to direct her. She knew she had to do something, otherwise her son was going to be put to death for sure. And so we're not told here how that comes to be. But it gives us a great example, I believe, of how God's principles work, even when we're not given specific guidance. There's a scripture that I love, I've grown to love more and more over the years. It says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. It is this divine principle that when things are moving in our lives, things of the world, the attack comes, the challenge happens, the temptation is real. God loads up the grace side of our life to carry us through that, to give us the strength to do the right things. Moms, he's doing that in your life today. As you're ministering to your children, you know, one thing about raising children you've discovered, you've figured out about the time that they're grown and you no longer need to raise them. But in the midst of all of that, that creates a perfect environment for God to step in and to use his supernatural and divine presence to guide and direct you. To allow him, you see, to give you the grace to make the right decision, even when you don't know the right way to go. That's our confidence today. That's our confidence to know God is going to give us all that we need to make the right decision. In our minds and in our human thinking, how can this ever work? In our human thinking, I don't understand. In our human thinking, all the things that could go wrong. And yet God says what? Trust me. Trust me. I'll see you through. I'll make sure that you're taken care of and those for whom you are ministering. So she places this baby in the ark and begins to float down the river. And as is always the case, when she stepped out in faith and did the right thing, what happened? God moved on the other side of the equation, and he brought another deliverer, if you will, even from the world. Unbeknownst to Pharaoh's daughter, she became a deliverer of the deliverer. And that is an amazing thing. Verse 4, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's edge. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. You know, the Bible says that the king's heart is in the Lord's hands. On this day, it was the king's daughter's heart who was in the Lord's hands. Because you see, he prepared Pharaoh's daughter for this divine appointment. These things are situations which were beyond the control of either Pharaoh's daughter or Jochebed, but not beyond the divine one. He had it all perfectly ordered. And if you find yourself, moms, in this place today where there are situations that seem to be beyond your control as it relates to your family, know this, that God, by his divine presence, has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, and he will carry you through. He will give you what you need. You can trust him. You can trust him. That's the value of prayer and love and nurturing. Prayer and love and nurturing. Pray, pray, and pray more. Be diligent in your prayer life, praying for your family, praying for all that are part of your family. Every day, commit them to the Lord. That's what Job did. We saw that, remember? In the first chapter of Job, he prayed for his family every day, for his children, and he offered sacrifices on their behalf. so that they would be covered in case they got caught up in sin. And that's exactly the role that God has given you today, you see, to pray for your children, to offer those sacrifices, if you will, of prayer, to love them with an enduring love, an unconditional love, a love that testifies that God's at work in your life, and that nurturing presence that you give them. As you nurture them in the admonition of the Lord, as you nurture them in God's ways, as you nurture them in the reality that they are safe and secure in your family, because it's a family that's based upon the rock, based upon the rock. And so Jochebed was doing her work, but man, what a challenge it was for her to do that. You stop and think about. And it says, verse 6, when she, Pharaoh's daughter, had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. Boy, the mother's heartstrings, right? It's on the other side of the equation, but God used that maternal instinct in Pharaoh's daughter to cause her to embrace one who is ordained for death by her dad. You see, he places those things in our hands, and then he wants us to release them. Then said his daughter to Pharaoh's daughter, his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. I love that. When you give them up to God, he gives them back. That's an amazing thing to stop and think about. As we release our children into God's hands, he gives them back to us. Because you see, moms, today you need to see yourself as stewardesses. You are stewardesses of God's gift to you, to your family, and your children. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. No man is poor who has had a godly mother. True. True. You know, my mom's been gone for a number of years now, but I look back and I think about the things that I was given from her. And I'm so thankful that my parents were saved when I was just a toddler. And so I had that background of church, although I didn't commit my life to the Lord till my mid-20s. It was all of that which was recorded on my being that caused me to remain in that place where God could reach me and draw me to himself. Be a godly mother. It's hard sometimes. It's like the, I wish I was a bear. I want to be able to do what I want to do. But sometimes we have to sacrifice ourselves in order to be what God wants us to be for those in our lives that he's given us. In verse 9, we read, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. You have to love that, the goodness of God. In Ephesians, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So not only did God give Moses back to his mom, he arranged for her to get paid for doing what she would have done anyway, and that's nurse the child. So she gets the benefit of nursing her baby, but she gets paid for doing it. That's an amazing thing. And she was able to form that intimate bond. Now, make no mistake about it. That time that she spent with Moses was formative in the man that he would become. Because you can know that she was pouring into his life biblical truth. She was from the tribe of Levi. And so they were focused upon the service of the Lord. And so she was using that time to care for Moses and to comfort Moses and to feed Moses and to train up Moses in the ways that he should go. And all of that was etched on his heart. And moms, that's what you're doing in the lives of your children, is pouring into them those things which will prepare them, which will equip them, which will help them be what God has designed them to be. Now, Jochebed knew the time was short compared to a lifetime. A child was weaned somewhere between 3 years and 5 years of age. But it is that formative time when the difference can be made. The scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Don't ever diminish the truths that you pour into the lives of your children. They may not demonstrate adherence to those things early on, but they can't escape the replay in their head because God brings it back, right? Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley and Charles Wesley, the great revivalists from England, spent an hour each day praying for her, get this, 17 children. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour every week to discuss spiritual matters. Her sons, Charles and John, were used by God to bring blessing to all of England and much of America. Here are a few rules she followed in training for her children. And before I read those, I want to say one other thing. She always was looking for quiet time, which you can imagine might have been a challenge with 17 children. So what she would do is she would take a chair, she would sit in the center of the kitchen, and she would sit down in the chair and she would pull her apron over her head. And when she did that, the kids knew they were to leave her alone until she was done. So if you ever need some quiet time, ladies, just go out, sit in the middle of your kitchen and pull your apron over your head. You may have to buy an apron, I don't know. But here's the things that she followed. Number one, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. So important to deal with rebellion. Irresponsibility with a child, that's to be expected. They're growing up and they're learning. They're going to make mistakes. But when you say, don't touch that, and they look at you and they reach their hand out with one finger and they touch it, that's rebellion. That needs to be dealt with. That needs to be dealt with directly. Number two, teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. I love that. From the youngest years, teach them to pray. Teach them that God is listening, that he wants to hear from them, that he loves them dearly, and they can share with him those things that are on their hearts. Number three, give him nothing he cries for. I love that. And only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. What are we doing? We're building into them structure. We're helping them to understand the order of life and things that are important, respect, and those kinds of things. Number four, prevent lying. Punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. That's great counsel. Number five, commend and reward good behavior. When our kids do something right, we need to be quick to praise them and reinforce that action. Too often, our only response to our children is when they make a mistake. We tend to overlook the victories, the things that they do. Moms, don't do that. Take time to build them up and to encourage them when they're making good decisions. And number six, strictly observe all promises that you have made to your child. They need to know that they can trust us. When we give them our word, then we need to be true to our word. Treasure the time with your children when they're young. It's not a burden. It's a challenge sometimes, to be sure. When you wake up and been awake all night, and then you sleep for 2 hours and wake up the next day, that can be a challenge. But treasure the time. Pray for God's strength. And remember, God is faithful. God is faithful. He will never let you down. He will always be there for you. In verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I have drawn him out of the water. As you read that verse, I encourage you to stop and think about all that's wrapped up there. Jochebed brought Moses to Pharaoh's daughter, and it says what? He became her son. Now you have to know that that was a difficult difficult task to hand your son off to someone else. We need to feel the emotion in the Bible as we read it, rather than just seeing it as a text. Those things are real. These are real people with real lives, real feelings, and real impacts on the decisions that are being made. Listen, in that we see something. We see that there comes a time when we have to release our children into God's hands. Never easy, always a challenge, because we want to protect them. But there comes a time when God says that now it's time for them to spread their wings, and we need to trust that everything we've poured into their lives becomes the sum total of what will help them to make wise decisions, to help them avoid the challenges of the world. Again, it comes back to what? Remembering that God is faithful. He's faithful. And God will protect our children. And they will remember what you've taught them. They're going to make some mistakes because they're human. But by God's grace, they'll have victory and they'll rise above the things of the world to realize what's important, what's true, and what they need to do in their lives, that God might be magnified, that Jesus might be exalted and seen in their lives, and that they might become the instrument that he wants them to be. Listen, the blessings of a mother. We see the dedication of a child to God in the life of Hannah, as she brings her son before the Lord. Before the Lord gave her a son, she said, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I will dedicate him to you for his whole life. He'll be a Nazarite." That was a powerful prayer. But God exactly did that. He met her need, and she did what she had promised to do. Dedicate your children to God. That's one of the reasons we have dedications of babies, is because it is the opportunity for the parents to declare before the body of Christ and before the God of heaven, we want our child to be raised up in your ways. We want our child, Lord, to be used by you. We want our child, Lord, to be guided and directed. Protection for the child from the world. Jochebed did that, right? She hid her son. And sometimes you will be criticized even by your family when you hide your children from the world. They will see it as an intrusion, as control. But God has given us a stewardship, and we need to be good stewards of our children. We want them to be able to make decisions on their own, but God will give us wisdom of when that time comes. As a child, they need protection. They need sideboards. They need guidance. They need direction. And as we see them to begin to grow and mature, it's then that we can open those sideboards a bit, allow them to venture out and see how they do. If they have victory, then continue to open that up. If they have failure, then bring them back a little closer, help them to prepare, understand, learn from what the mistakes were, and then move back out. But it's not like we can just throw the doors open and let them run into the world, because all we're doing is sentencing them to great defeat. We need to be careful. Training of the child. We train our children. They are blank slates when they're born, and God has given us the call to train them up in his ways. And that's why we do not only things at home, but we also have our times in the fellowship, in the classes, during services, in personal small group Bible studies. All of those things serve to train our kids up in those things which are important in life. Ultimately, they have to make the decision. We know that. They have to choose. But if you've given them all the tools, then you significantly increase the reality of them choosing wisely. If we fail to train them up, then we create a difficult situation for them. Prayers for the child. We need to pray for our children every day. And I know that you do, many of you. We need to pray for their covering and protection. We need to pray for their decisions. We need to pray for them to hear the heart of God, to sense his presence. We need to love our children unconditionally. They're not always going to do the right stuff, but we need to love them in spite of that. And finally, we see triumph in humility. As you humble yourself before the Lord and admit your absolute inability to raise your children in his ways, it's then that God can step in and do what he does so well. Because all of a sudden, it's not us doing it, but it's Christ in us, raising up our children in the ways of the Lord. Moms, I so appreciate you. And I know the Lord appreciates you. And I know that he has great plans for you and for your kids. Continue to be faithful. Continue to run the race well. And the Lord will meet you. And he will bless you. And he will bless your children as a result. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this special day and for our mothers, Lord. I pray you would surround them, Lord, with your presence today in a special way, that you would help them to know the depth of your love for them, Lord, and that they would be encouraged to continue on, to not become weary in well-doing, knowing that the reward lies ahead, Father. Help us to be faithful to pray for our moms day by day, Lord. Help us to be faithful in coming alongside of them and reminding them of how much we appreciate the work that they're doing. They don't just know, Lord. They need to be told sometimes. So help us, Father, to be faithful in that. Today, Father, as we leave this place, I pray, Lord, as families gather, that moms would feel honored and blessed, Lord, that they would be encouraged. And indeed, I pray that you would be today honored and blessed and encouraged, built up in the faith, because Jesus does, in fact, love you in a very special way. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.